Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor and a father of five, broadcasting from my basement here on Christmas Day. Oh, and oh, by the way, happy holidays, Dave.
Well, thank you. It is, in fact, a very happy holy day.
It's a very holy day.
Yes, it is a holy day.
Is that offending somebody out there?
That it's a holy day?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there's some stores who have to be closed and they'd rather be open and they don't think it's so holy. I don't know.
Could be. But we want to celebrate Jesus' birthday. And, you know, you can celebrate Jesus' birthday on June 18th if you'd like. You can celebrate any time. And you can celebrate Jesus walking on the water. But I think you need to celebrate the fact that Jesus came. Amen, Dave? I mean, let's celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, penetrated our world, came here, was born as a boy, as a man, and walked the streets of Nazareth, and eventually died on the cross for our sins, now is risen from the dead, and is on the right hand of the Father on high. We believe that. That's the gospel message. We believe it, and we believe the world would be very, very different if Jesus had never come.
Well, John would say that if you don't acknowledge and don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh, then you're an antichrist. So we don't want to be an antichrist. We want to make a point of recognizing the incarnation, that God became man.
And if you believe that, you will be saved. And if you will not believe that, you will be condemned. That's pretty clear from John chapter 3. So Jesus came, and Jesus came to save the world. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. The world is a very, very different place because the Son of God was incarnated as a man 2,000 years ago. And here's the deal, folks. I'm gonna prove this to you by going to the World Almanac. That's right. I'm gonna go to the World Almanac and I'm gonna prove that Jesus coming 2,000 years ago and dying on the cross and discipling 12 men has radically impacted the globe. And let me explain to you. Here, number one, what I did is I went and found the 6 or 7 worst places in the entire world. I'm talking about the hell holes.
Detroit.
Around the world. No, I didn't pick Detroit.
Even worse than Detroit.
Even worse than Detroit.
Wow, that's like Windsor or something.
No, North Korea. I picked the worst tyrannies, the absolute most miserable places on the planet. And I want to describe them to you. Here they are, North Korea. They have an extreme communist worldview. They're starving their people to death by the millions, and they've got a $1,900 per year GPI per capita. That means per year, these guys are only making $1,900 a year. Now,
but on the plus side, they're not making a lot of carbon dioxide.
Yeah, right. And the lights are off, and nobody's getting much to eat, and it's a pitiful, horrible, tyrannical place to live. I mean, you know, I don't find a lot of people immigrating in North Korea.
No, and you don't find a lot of people leaving it either.
If they leave, they can be shot for leaving.
Yeah.
It's just that pleasant of a place to be.
Yes. North Korea, it's not really a vacation spot either.
All right. Now, I'm just giving you a list of the places where the gospel has not penetrated very much. They're persecuting Christians there. They're trying to wipe them all out. I mean, the worldview that dominates in North Korea, my friends, is the extreme humanist, communist worldview, where man is God in a deified state. All right, that's North Korea, and they've got a miserable, miserable economy. Cuba, extreme communist, $4,000 GNI per capita. Burma, another place that persecutes Christians, 89% Buddhist, they've got $1,800 GNI per capita. Eritrea, out in Africa, they got $800 per person per year. I mean, Dave, that's like $80, that's like $70 a month that families are trying to get by on. Unbelievable. This is Eritrea. They're persecuting Christians. We know Christians in prison in Eritrea. The Muslim worldview dominates there. They're 90% Muslim, and they got $800 a year GNI per capita. All right. Yemen, another 99% Muslim. They've got a $2,300 GNI per capita. Again, a miserable, miserable hellhole. Afghanistan, another horrible place, of course, 99% Muslim, and they've got an $800 per year per capita GNI. $800. That's all these people get. I mean, these people are starving to death. They're prostituting their daughters right and left. I just read an article, I believe it was in the New York Times, on the prostitution of little tiny girls in Afghanistan. just because these families apparently don't have any kind of an income, and their faith, of course, is Muslim. They're 99% Muslim. And so the Muslims are just about as pagan and as a wicked and immoral a people as you can imagine. And here they are, 99% Muslim with $800 a year GNI per capita. Okay, there are the six hellholes that I picked. Six places people aren't really thinking, a place to immigrate, lots of liberty, lots of prosperity happening there. The places where there is very little free market, very little freedom, very little liberty, the hell holes in the world are the places where the Christian gospel has hardly penetrated at all. All right, now, here's a list of the most desirable places on earth. Relative peace, lots of stability, lots of freedom, lots of prosperity, where the gospel has actually penetrated a little. It's amazing, the correlation, my friends. Let me give you a couple. Let's start with Mexico. Mexico, 89% Roman Catholic. Granted, it's a syncretized Catholicism. It's very, very pagan. We know that. There's hardly any faith in that quote-unquote Roman Catholicism. But there is some remnant of the Christian faith. People know something about the incarnation of the Son of God and the sovereign salvation that comes by means of the Savior. And you've got a GNI of $12,800 per capita. Dave, that's well above North Korea, Cuba, Burma, Eritrea, Yemen, Afghanistan, where the communist, humanist, and Muslims' worldviews predominate. But here, in Mexico, $12,800. I mean, per capita per year, that's not too bad. But hey, let's move up. Portugal is at 89% Roman Catholic, 21.7 GNI per capita. South Korea, now we're getting into Protestant territory. South Korea has been one of the shining examples of Protestant missionary work in the last 100 years of the gospel going out by means of Protestant missionaries. South Korea is now 26% Protestant. They've got a GNI per capita of $24,800. All right, now, Italy, 90% Roman Catholic, $30,500. All right, Netherlands, 20% Protestant. Now we're back into Protestant territory. Now we're all the way up to $38,500 per capita. Switzerland, 35% Protestant, $35,000 GNI per capita. Australia, 42% Protestant. Now we're getting into serious Protestant territory. $37,500 GNI per capita. Canada, 38% Protestant. $38,400 GNI per capita. Sweden, 87% Lutheran. $41,000 GNI per capita. United States, 52% Protestant at $45,000 GNI per capita. Ladies and gentlemen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What I'm saying, my friends, is that Jesus came to save this world from sin and from the effects of sin, the miserable poverty, the miserable immorality, the miserable tyranny that has overwhelmed the nations around the world, has been somewhat diminished by means of the light of the gospel. And yeah, I'm not saying that the gospel has thoroughly penetrated America. We complain about it a lot, that we have lost the Christian perspective of things here. But I'm saying the modicum of Christianity, the 1 in 100 that will dare to share their faith. I worked in a corporation at one point where only 5 people out of, say, 500 employees were really Christians, to the point where people knew they were Christians. Okay, so you've got in America 1 in 100 that are actually willing to stand up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ who was incarnated and came and changed my life. I mean, okay, 1 in 100. And yeah, we've got thousands and thousands of heterodoxic cults and thousands of false ideas concerning what Jesus said and what Jesus did and what Jesus wrote in the Word of God. But despite all of that, the tiny little light that seeps through, the tiny little gospel that makes it into these nations really makes a significant impact in the way that people live their lives. Jesus Christ has done something. He has penetrated our globe, and he has regenerated, sanctified our lives. There, without the incarnation, ladies and gentlemen, there would be no Isaac Newton. There would be no Robert Boyle. there would be no Charles Babbage, the founder of computer science. There would be no Blaise Pascal, Gregor Mendel, James Maxwell, Lord Kelvin, James Joule, Samuel Morse. There'd be no chemistry, no electronics, no fluid mechanics, no bacteriology, no dynamics, no hydraulics, no computers, no thermodynamics, no John Adams, no George Washington, no James Madison, no Patrick, no America with all the freedoms that we enjoy. We would be cannibals. We would be sunk into polygamy without Jesus Christ coming and radically changing nations by means of changing hearts. We would be swamped in misery, guilt, and shame, and human sacrifice. We would know nothing but power-oriented, slavery-based economic systems. In fact, the first men that stood up against slavery and abolished chattel slavery were men like St. Patrick in Ireland. And Wilberforce out in England in the 1700s, these were the men that began to abolish that horrendous chattel slave-based system. Now, granted, we've got our own slavery to big governments today and other things. We've got work cut out for us. And we talk about the work that's cut out for us on this radio show. But I'm saying what's been done has been done by people who have been radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about charity. Think about what America does in charity. The United States gives twice as much as any other nation on the face of the earth as a percentage of their gross national income to charity. America does that. 52% Protestant, the highest Protestant ratio in the world is America. And this nation, impacted by the Word of God, by the Scriptures, Sola Scriptura is the cry of the Reformed faith. That Reformed faith has radically impacted a nation. And this nation gives twice as much as a percentage of the GNI to charity of any other nation on the face of the earth. And the United States and Britain together contribute more charity than any other nation, than the entire world put together. Why? Well, because gospel of Jesus Christ was able to penetrate, yes, through all of the tyranny, through all of the resistance, through all of the cults, through all of the diverse, horrendous, heterodoxic doctrines that are preached by weird churches. The gospel has been able to penetrate through all of that in nations like England and America to accomplish significant things to change this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Dave, I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm overwhelmed by what the gospel has done. Think about how we treat the infirm. Think about how we treat people who need wheelchairs. I just ran into a wheelchair ministry. This guy, this Christian, just came up with this concept of building wheelchairs for $68 or $48. And he's built 200,000 wheelchairs, and they've handed it out to poor people who, he says, cannot get off the ground. He shows all these pictures of these people crawling around the ground. He says there are 20 million people around the world crawling around the ground. And this guy came out and said, I got to do something for these people. Why did he do that? Because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has touched that man. And so far he's built 200,000. He wants to build 20 million wheelchairs. And I saw a video of this. These people, they get their wheelchair. They get off the ground for the first time in 28 years of their life. And it's just all smiles. All smiles. I just was watching Johnny and Friends. You know, Johnny Erickson, who's got a heart for the severely paralyzed and the infirmed. And you know, I know the world wants to euthanize them, Dave. And they will. Someday they'll gain some ground in that area. But not Christians. What do? We take care of them. And there's just such touching stories of how families have reached out and churches have reached out and charities have reached out to these poor people who just need to be embraced and enjoyed and loved. And think of little babies with Down syndrome. I mean, I have a feeling because Jesus came, we got Down syndrome people loved and cherished and included in homes and supported with so much more love than they would in some pagan land like Afghanistan. Imagine what would happen to somebody in Afghanistan like that. Or even Japan. I can remember living in Japan where anybody who had some kind of a physical deformity was mocked and ridiculed and castigated by society. I see this in all these other lands where the gospel of Jesus Christ has not penetrated, but where it has, the love of Christ has entered those hearts. And think about how the world is different because of that.
And so if we connect the dots, what we're saying is there is a strong correlation where if the gospel of Christ, that is the incarnation of Jesus Christ, God becomes man and dwelt among us, where that has even modestly penetrated a culture, it has transformed culture such that even the pagans living in that culture are making positive contributions. But where it has not penetrated a culture, the culture is dying. The culture is a culture of death. And in the more that we deny the Godhood of Jesus Christ in our society, the more we see a culture of death coming back.
Dave, you're right. I want to address that in just a moment. But before we take a break, folks, I want you to think right now about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As every word that is spoken from a radio program like this, or from a pulpit where the Word of God is opened, or in a living room where a father will open the Word of God day by day by day and teach his children God's Word, that's pure gold. That's pure gold. Every word of God will not return unto him void, but accomplish that for which it's sent. The power of the gospel to transform lives and cultures is unbelievable. And Dave, I believe we're transforming lives and cultures with every word we bring. As we broadcast on KLT in Denver, I think we're transforming Colorado and Kansas and Wyoming, as we transform lives by the Word of God, as we are true to the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ, as we turn people to Christ in faith, and we say, you've got to believe in Christ, you've got to repent of your sins, and turn to Christ as your Savior, and serve Him as your Lord, and bow to His law order, and embrace His laws, and say, I want to live under your burden, because your burden is light. I want to embrace you and love you and keep your commandments. As we encourage people to do that, Dave, every day on this radio program, I think we're going to establish Christian cultures for generations to come. And by God's grace, we'll have an America, and not that hellhole Afghanistan. And maybe one day Afghanistan will be transformed too, by the powerful, powerful preaching of the Word of God throughout that land. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we're going to talk a little bit more about the power of the gospel and the power of humanism as it replaces the gospel of Christ. Be back in just a moment. This is Generations. Merry Christmas.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Welcome back to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. Dave Buehner also with us. On Christmas Day, celebrating the incarnation of the Son of God, who took on flesh like us, and you could step up to him and shake his hand 2,000 years ago as he walked across Palestine. Well, because Jesus came, things have been radically transformed. But Dave, again, you know, we were talking about the optimism. Now we need to also, I think, contrast with what is happening here in America. We are losing this biblical way of looking at things. We're losing a Christian worldview, and we replaced it with a largely secular humanist worldview. And look what's happened to the family. You know, just 30 years ago, you only had 6% of kids born without fathers. Now it's 37%. And number of divorces back in the 1800s, 2, 3, 4%. Now it's close to half of marriages ending in divorce. The family is falling apart. The nuclear family now making up some 49% of households in America. The family is just coming apart at the seams. And among our African-American friends in this nation, 70% of little black children born without fathers. This is devastating. But it is the fruit of humanism. It is the fruit of those who have rejected a biblical way of looking at the family. Those who have rejected Christ. They've rejected Christ. They don't want to live by means of God's word. Jesus himself said, what God has brought together, let no man separate. Let no man separate. That was a command of Jesus Christ, who was born in the manger. And he commanded that. And Dave, he will curse families, and he will curse nations that rip those marriages apart. And I think that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, when you said Jesus came to save the world, the Greek word there is cosmos, which means order, really. I mean, we translate it as world, but it means the order, the system, you might even say. And those who follow the incarnate Christ follow his order, his law order, and that says that we're going to have really nice, loving families that we are so rare today. When we cast off that order, we're actually casting off the incarnation. We don't believe that God became man. That's why we're going to divorce our wife. That's why we're going to have serial polygamy. Maybe that's why we're going to live with a woman or kill our children or whatever that leads to a destruction of the family.
There's a huge contrast, Dave.
Oh, there is.
A huge contrast.
The order of God is Jesus is coming back a second time to take a bride for himself. One bride. But we cast that off and say, oh, marriage isn't important.
I mean, on the one hand, the humanists have done everything they can to destroy marriage. They've done everything they can to destroy the family. They've done it economically. They've done it socially. They did it with universities. They did it with their entertainment sources. They've done everything they can possibly do to devastate the family. Well, that's not God's vision. God's vision is one man, one woman together in marriage till death do they part, to raise a godly seed, because that's what he desires. And he wants those fathers discipling those children in those homes. And that kind of worldview is not taught today. It's just not taught. It's rare to hear that. Dave, it's not just the area of family. I mean, granted, Rousseau, Marx, Margaret Sanger, and all the feminazis, yes, they have destroyed the family. And the average person today doesn't believe in the unity of the family, doesn't believe in the unity of the family economy that we talk about here on this show. They just don't believe in the family anymore. They just don't. I mean, whatever little bits and pieces belong to the family are just fragments anymore of what the family used to be 100 years ago. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the family. It's also in the area of dominion and economics. I mean, Dave, think about what happened when we abandoned a biblical way of looking at money. At one time, we said, hey, we better go to the scriptures. Jesus in his word says you've got to make sure you've got a good balance where it's not an uneven balance. You've got to make sure that what people get in terms of what they trade is exactly what they expect to get. But that was not the fractional reserve system that's developed by John Maynard Keynes.
Yeah, we cast off a order that God has for economies, and we've now replaced it with man's order, and we see now what the result of that is Wall Street comes tumbling down.
Coming down, right. It's all coming to pieces. Why? Because we have abandoned the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ contained in the Word of God, but also in the area of dominion. I mean, you think about what this nation did with all of the work from godly scientists. Isaac Newton, Robert Boyle, Charles Babbage. I went through all these different things. I mean, this engineering, this development, these computers were developed by Christians who had a Christian worldview, a Christian testimony. They did it, they said, for the glory of God. They said they feared God. They said they stood in awe of God's creation. And they believed that the order of creation could be counted on only because God guaranteed that order and they trusted in the God of all order. So you had guys who were biblical Christians who put our technology and our manufacturing together. Well, now we're all abandoning that. Nobody's fearing God, or very few people fear God in our secular universities today. I hardly ever hear anybody talking about the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom in the environmental sciences class.
Yeah, science was studying how God created the world. That was the philosophy of science. And then they used it to take dominion, and they built dams that dammed up rivers so that we could have power and water year-round. A really nice thing. Now, what happens when you take that, we're not studying God's creation, but there is no God, and this isn't creation, this is some random universe. Now what do the scientists, so quote-unquote scientists, do? They go around telling us that we can't build dams, that we can't build power plants, that we can't heat our homes, that we can't use incandescent carbon filament light bulbs.
But why? Because they fear God. No, I'm just kidding.
They don't fear God. They fear a different God.
They worship the earth. They worship the creature rather than the creator. So if you have scientists, and you have them everywhere, who refuse to worship and fear God in their classrooms and in their laboratories, of course they're going to come up with pseudoscience. Of course they're going to destroy dominion work. God commanded us to take dominion of this world, to rule this world. Not to worship it, not to serve this world, but to take dominion over this world and to use it for the benefit of mankind to the glory of God. And in the process, be worshiping God and be grateful to Him the entire distance. Well, Dave, you got a world today is not being grateful to God, not worshiping God in the science classrooms and the laboratories, and they're effectively worshiping the earth. And that's the Al Gores of the world. I mean, I haven't heard him worship God lately. I do hear him talk about saving the earth and worshiping the earth and falling down at the feet of the Mother Earth, but he's certainly not worshiping the God who created these things.
Two radically different ends to two different worldviews. The Christian worldview is Jesus is coming to save his order, and we're going to take dominion. We're going to bring all things underneath the rule and the feet of Jesus Christ. The other is actually trying not to take dominion, to stop dominion, rather to preserve the fallen world in some state that they think may have been ideal. In other words, no dominion of Jesus Christ, not the lordship of Jesus Christ. Wherever we want to leave the rainforest where Jesus doesn't reign. We want to have society where Jesus is not Lord. So one is trying to take dominion. The other is doing everything they can to stop dominion. And I think that's what the environmental movement really is. It's a religion to stop the lordship of Jesus Christ.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are celebrating the incarnation of Jesus Christ and the power of his word as it is preached in the pulpits and in the living room by fathers and pastors. If we can bring the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if people would worship Christ, if they would fall on their knees and serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and accept his laws as the laws by which they will build their families, their economies, their businesses. Personally, we think we're going to have some wonderful, wonderful countries on the face of this earth and not the hellholes that the humanists and the Muslims and the Hindus and the Buddhists have built for us over centuries. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful, very powerful. The influence of Christ, significant. I want to end this program by reading a short segment by James A. Francis called One Solitary Life. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village, worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that contemporary society would consider a sign of greatness. He had nothing of this world, only the power of his divinity. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him, another betrayed him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth: his coat. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centerpiece of the human race, the greatest source of guidance and divine inspiration. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that have ever marched, and all the navies that ever were built, and all the parliaments that have ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Generations. Merry Christmas. Celebrate the incarnation today. Its effects have been powerful on you, on me, on this world. You can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at KevinSwanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time. as we cast a vision for the next generation.